Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
Welcome back, everybody. Michael Steele having a fun time. I knew I would. I knew every time I'm in space with Kimberly Jones, it's real, it's raw, it's honest. I was really fascinated by your concept of Reconstruction 2.0. What is that? And how do you weave that into the book? And why is that such an important part of the storytelling in the book?
This is why history is important, right? Because Reconstruction is where we almost got it right.
Right.
Where we were so close to getting it right.
That close. We were
so close to getting it right. You know, people talk about, I laugh when people are talking about what they don't want taught in schools. And I'm like, well, yeah, what you also don't want me to teach you in school is that public education, as you know it, was created by the 13 Black Republican lawmakers of Reconstruction. They're the reason you even have public education.
It's true.
And you don't even know that. You're like, I don't want this this coloredness taught in my schools. And I'm like, in the schools that 13 Black men decided you should have?
We are so ignorant of history. We're so ignorant. We are.
I'm like, and it's like the amount of kids, one of my idols is Henry Louis Gates, right? I'm obsessed with him. It's like, if people ask me what my dream is, people are like, is it your dream to win a Pulitzer Prize? I'm like, no, it's my dreams for Henry Louis Gates to tell me where all my people are from. that's my dream. But his multi-part documentary on Reconstruction blew my mind. Me, someone who considers myself a history buff, the amount that I didn't know about the Reconstruction era blew my mind. There's an amazing new book on that era written for kids by a new writer named Michelle Coles called Black Was the Ink, where a kid goes back in time and he's living during the Reconstruction era. And if anybody have like middle school kids or high school kids, buy them Black Was the New Ink. It's absolutely amazing. A kid goes back in time and is living during Reconstruction. But I said all that to say, Reconstruction is where we almost got it right. We were like doing good. We were like on track. Like, there are things that you think are negative about Black people now that were positive, like the fact that we controlled the watermelon industry during Reconstruction because seedlings, we couldn't really get into cotton and tobacco, which were expensive to get into, but watermelon seeds were super cheap. And people say we never got our 40 acres and a mule. We didn't in its entirety, but we did to start to get it during Reconstruction under Dr. General General Oliver Howard, because he didn't have any money to run that bureau.
Right.
He had 850,000 acres of land that he could give out. And unfortunately, Lincoln got shot. Johnson took office, which is probably why we've never had a Republican and Democrat run together ever again.
Right. It didn't work out too well the first time.
It did not work out at all for us, especially not for us. It didn't work out at all.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that was an era in which we started to get it right. We had people in very powerful seats at the federal level. We had people in very powerful seats, state to state, especially like Louisiana was one of the states where we had lots of lawmakers during that time. Black people were starting to, you know, have successful businesses. We controlled an entire industry. You know, lots of cultures who control an entire industry. We controlled watermelon. We had watermelon on lock. That was our thing. And so I'm saying, if this is the era in which we got it right, and then we allowed it, thanks to Johnson, boo Johnson, it fell apart. Then I think we need to examine that and say, okay, what pieces and components about this did we get it right before we ruined it all with Black codes and then upped the ante with Jim Crow?
With Jim Crow,
and then just sealed the deal in the coffin with the crack epidemic, which, you know, the Kerry papers make that conversation very, very, very interesting. And so it's like, we were getting something right. Let's look at a time where here in the Americas, we were getting something right, and let's steal the best bits from it, as the British would say. Let's steal the best bits from that. Best bits from that, and then look at where we are and what we need now, and let's do this. And here's the thing, anybody racist who's listening to Michael Steele because you want to comment and yell at him and me, listen to this part at least, while since we got you here. Since you're here and you're going to post something calling us ugly or whatever you're going to do with this podcast, which we're both cute, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hear this piece. It does not benefit you for any of your fellow citizens to be in dire straits, because a starving man will do what he needs to do to stop starving. Yeah. A hurting man will do what he needs to do to stop hurting. A dying man will do what he needs to do to stop dying. It only benefits us all, for us all to get to a healthier, happier America for everyone. And then we can all go back to the happy times that you guys know of in the 1950s, which was not so happy for us, when everybody saw that was the reason I had an issue with Make America Great Again. I'm like, what again are you talking about?
All right, right. And can I clue folks into a secret? It wasn't that great for white folks either.
Not poor ones.
So, I mean, to your point about a hurting man, a dying man, yeah, that doesn't know skin color, because I can take you to Mississippi. I can take you to Appalachia. I can take you to some parts here in Maryland, in New York, where you are, certainly in Georgia, where you know, in Illinois, where you grew up.
Yeah.
And show you pockets of white folks who are hurting just as much as black folks. And yet and still they seem to think that their whiteness will be enough to get them by. And at the end of the day, they'll be okay. And I'm like, no, baby, you're still hurting. You're still dying. You're still
victims of the lack of mediocrity as well.
Exactly.
You think that your whiteness puts you proximity to the needs, wants, and desires of Mark Zuckerberg. And baby, it doesn't.
Don't worry. Mark don't know you anymore than he knows.
You do not have the same. I don't understand why people vote against their own interests. You do not have the same interest living in your trailer park as a billionaire.
from Queens, New York.
Right. You don't. That man is not relating to you. That man is manipulating you.
Not only are you not related to him. He doesn't give a damn about you. He doesn't. He wouldn't know what your problems were if you sat in front of him with a list and said, okay, so right now I'm living in a trailer park. Let's start with that one. Number two, the electricity goes out quite a bit. Three of my kids got no jobs. I mean, go through the list. That's life in America for a lot of people. So the difference, what's the difference between living in a trailer park and living in the projects?
Let me tell you something. You both gonna get the same charges.
One is higher than the other.
Yeah, you're gonna get the same charges for that crack and that mess. Let me tell you that.
That's right.
And because the reason people care about opioids is because it's in the suburbs.
It's suburbs. That's right.
Same sympathy in the heart of an angel music playing in the background that they play for the opioids, they ain't playing that for meth.
Nope. Not playing it at all.
They ain't playing that for crack.
So is that how, as you note in the book, we have to change the board to change the game? Is that change begin in your idea of this Reconstruction 2.0? And that of course, euphemistically and maybe more directly touch on reparations, this idea of reparations. And reparations for me, I've always kind of repelled at the monetary side of it, because I know white folks ain't going to give up on the cash. I got that. All right. No one, they'll strike a check. They'll stroke a check to the Chinese and they'll stroke a check to this group, but they ain't striking a check to black folks. Okay. So we kind of understand that. So reparations has, though, another aspect of it in terms of how we repair, how we make whole again. That touches on a lot of the institutional systems that you've talked about. The reparations piece, as you know, is just is a different piece. How does that all connect? Is that the reconstruction, the board change, et cetera?
Yeah, I think that is the reset. I think that is the reset that we need. And like you said, if they were going to cut a check, that check would have been cut already.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to see a check get cut in my life.
Right, I would love to.
So what I think is we look at the systems. We look at the systems that have negatively impacted Black people. And we do a thorough examination of what that looks like. And that we don't do it performatively to say, okay, we did the report, that's closed now.
Right.
It's like, no, we do that. And then we look at legislation and some of these Black folks who are the abnormality, we need to borrow a couple of dollars from all of y'all collectively so we can get ourselves some lobbyists together
right.
and go ahead and get some legislation passed that actually impacts this community. The thing is, we have so many laws on the book. Well, you know this about me. You know I'm not a fan of a whole, we don't need no more government, nothing. We
right.
got too much. We need to, that's the problem. Government is bloated. We need to
right.
get rid of a lot of it and gut a lot of it, and a lot of it need to go. And we need to reallocate these funds. People don't realize politicians are really accountants. They're managing budget all the time. And they have too much money in too many of the wrong places. They need to let me come over there and get a handle on this stuff thing. But I think
but there's value to your point of putting money where on the street where you need it, so to speak.
Exactly.
In other words, I don't need it in this building, you know, that's on somebody's computer behind a desk.
No.
I need it to be on the street, which is why I always valued community centers and the fact that they're no longer there. Valued, you know, a lot of the models that enhanced the opportunities for policing, for example, because the police walked the neighborhoods, they were in the community centers, they knew the kids. So they knew that brother over there was a problem, but this brother over here wasn't. So there was no confusion when they would encounter these two kids as to where, how they approach one versus how they approach the other. Right now, just as
everybody's
a sidebar, everybody's approached the same way. You're Black, you're dangerous. Right.
Yep. Yep.
So it really speaks to an important piece, going back to what you said about education, wrapping it into how we spend in these areas and what we spend on, that we don't seem to be prioritizing it the right way. And we are bloating up these institutions. Oh, let's just throw more money into this bucket, which has a hole in it.
Yep.
And that's
80% of the money is going to salaries.
Right. And so that's when you're looking at reconstruction, how do we rebuild? How do we make it better from where we are right now? You can't do it the old way. And you certainly can't play the board game Monopoly the way it's already been set up. You're going to have to change the way you do that.
Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
All right, America. You asked for it. Or maybe you didn't, but either way, we have to talk. You're just in kind of a crazy place right now, Mr. and Mrs. USA. So, we are going to sit down a couple of times a week and work it out between us. The way Americans do. On a podcast. Hosted by Beowulf Rocklin. Weird name. Weird news. Weird politics. Weird country. Facepalm America. Listen to Facepalm America, a podcast that laughs at America and its politics, from Beowulf Rocklin, producer of The Rick Unger Show. Facepalm America, available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and wherever you download your digital distractions in audio form.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.